Oh, yeah, he's back. The crack of the bat, the ping of the crossbar, and the roar of the crowd. We cover everything you want to talk about. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Episode number 223 is taking flight. Here from the bunker in Western Canada, Rod Peterson here, Darren DuPont there. How you doing, Dupes?
Doing good.
And a cast of a few around the bunker. Producer Clark here, Director Jordan. Everybody says good morning. I'm excited to get going with the program today. We usually open the show with the quick six show topics right here, but I know the top two topics are really all that we need to carry us through the entire show, and I've told you what they are. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
But we've got people checking in from all across the prairies. That is where we are the most popular. We haven't done a stats list lately, have we?
No.
90%-ish of our viewers are between Winnipeg, Edmonton, Calgary, and of course Saskatchewan. But where's Vegas, by the way? Do we know where Vegas is?
Still in the top 10.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
So that theory that it was travelers going through Vegas doesn't hold water.
Not really.
Obviously. Okay, cool. Colin checking in from the nation's capital. He says, let's go! Oh, we will. A lot of CFL talk this morning, but there was a guy, I think his name was Bobby McPhail. He checked in from Calgary, and I had to laugh because I got a shiver the other day. I had a new follower on Instagram, Ranchman's Calgary. Do you know what Ranchman's is?
Whoa.
One of the greatest country bars in the land, of this land. And I'm like, oh, are they after me for an unpaid bar tab? That's what I was thinking from my college set. Maybe they are. I don't know.
They got out of it.
But welcome. Yeah, maybe. Right. Thank you, Ranchman's Calgary, for the follow. So it's a really big show today. Big guests, of course, as you are used to having on this program. Jay Onright from the legendary TSN duo Jay and Dan will be with us. Rob Vanstone, the award-winning columnist from the Regina Leader Post, and as he has self-tabbed himself, writer historian, CFL veteran, rodeo cowboy Bryn Roy. Do you remember that name?
Yeah.
I'm sure you do. Bounced around the CFL, still bouncing around the CFL. Now he's bouncing around rodeo arenas in Louisiana, I think was the last start. Bryn's going to be here to talk some interesting cowboy and football stories and all the rest. And one of the co-owners of the Atlantic Schooners, Gary Drummond, is going to be with us later on in hour two. And that's got really has CFL fans all pepped up to go to hear from Drummer. As am I, obviously, for a Schooners update amid the exit of one Anthony LeBlanc last week to the Ottawa Senators. Hey, Scotty Annan watching today. Hi, Scotty. Scotty is, I'm not sure what his title is, but I will give him the title of Director of Football Operations for the Atlantic Schooners. So he's watching, and not just because Drummer's on. Scotty watches all the time. But hey, Scotty, good morning. Or to you, good afternoon. Are you ready to go, Dupes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's hit the topics.
And I also have breaking news that we will get to near the end of the rollout here for Flooring Superstore. And I also have to say, today's the day we're going to Flooring Superstore to pick out our flooring for our second floor of our house. Yeah.
Do you know what you're going in there for?
No, that's the whole idea.
Wow.
Flooring Superstore, get ready. We're coming at you this afternoon to pick it up. So, quick six show topics today as we always go through. Well, obviously, number one, the CFL is seeking up to $150 million in federal aid due to COVID-19. That's where we could just drop anchor, as our maritime friends say, and spend a while on that. And I'll come back to it. Number two, Argos linebacker Nakus Onyeka, if I'm saying that right, Argos linebacker Nakus Onyeka tweeting this morning, why do Canadians hate the CFL? We could spend a whole show on that.
Oh, yeah.
So, number three, The Athletic's Bob McGinn. He covers the Packers out of Green Bay for The Athletic. He figures the Packers have had enough of Aaron Rodgers' act, and that's why they drafted Jordan Love in round one the other night. So, hold on. We'll come back to that. Point four, as we're kind of scratching the bottom of the barrel for topics these days. What's your Hall of Fame of fast food? If you could pick four, your Mount Rushmore of fast food, what would it be?
Wow.
I know, right? So we'll have some fun with that throughout the program today. CFL draft coming up Thursday night. Did the CFL steal its own thunder on the draft is what people were texting me last night saying, why would this come out now? Why would Ambrosi confirm the $115 million aid request 2 days before the draft? I'm like, I don't know, but let's talk about it. And point six, do you see fall sports happening? Because as you know, we are very fond of the Western Hockey League, the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, Canada West football. There's a lot of leagues that start in the fall.
Yeah,
you know, Labor Day, the kickoff for a lot of them. Do we foresee that happening? Plus, we have some NHL things to get to and the breaking news, as I said, which we will do later on. So to the CFL seeking $30 million now from Ottawa, and if there's no season, up to $150 million. If you break it down, that's $3 million per team plus $3 million to the league office. Do I have a problem with it? Initially, I thought no, and I still don't have a problem with it. And the reasons why, given everything the CFL has meant to me, everything the CFL still means to me in terms of a league that we cover, it being a Canadian institution, I would vote yes. I know there's a lot of my liberal friends that are like poking me on Facebook going, oh, thought you were against bailouts, thought you were against handouts. No, it's a case-by-case situation. But as a guy here, as I've said to you, I don't think I've said this on the air, but I've been advised on multiple occasions that I do not qualify for any relief from the federal government given my current employment situation as a contractor. I won't say who, but my advisors are saying, Rod, you just don't. So, and the reason I looked into it was if Trudeau's handing out free money, why wouldn't I get in line? What the hell? What do I got to lose? And my guys are saying, no, Rod, you don't qualify. So I don't qualify. I still don't have a problem with the CFL for what they mean to the country. Obviously, they're my friends, but people are very worked up about it. Even CFL fans are worked up about it. People that are probably struggling to pay their own bills right now, put food on the table. And listen, I get it. I totally get it. So I had so many people writing me in the last 12 hours since this came out, and even this morning saying, your show's going to be lively, Rod. Oh, people are fired up about this. What's so lively about it? If we can't have a discussion as adults about this and people are going to yell and call names and scream and swear, then that's really sad.
Yeah.
Can we not just have a normal discussion about whether the CFL should qualify for millions in aid? Over to you.
Yeah, you would think so. You would think so. I mean, I talked about this when we, you know, first got into the early days of this and leagues started canceling. And I wondered if the big leagues, the big four, and then the CFL would be eligible for bailout money. And I thought it was kind of wild, but the big banks got it in 07, 08 when the housing market crashed, or if the financial markets crashed, there's bailouts for big financial institutions. Why not sports? They're billion-dollar industries, multi-million-dollar industries, you know, up here in Canada. You know, the bailout thing, I get. I mean, it's a national institution. It's been around for over 100 years. It impacts a lot of markets and a lot of people across the country and brings a lot of economic benefits, you know, into the country, the games and the players, too. So I'm not really against it. Now, in the States, I mean, you have teams that are taking advantage of financial opportunities. I mean, if you can sit here and not need the money and pass on taking support, good for you. But if you look back, you know, in 5 years from now and be like, I could have had an extra $2 million. I didn't need it, but I could have had it. Imagine all the other things you could do with that money. But the Lakers just were in the news for the same thing. They got some bailout money or some
$4.6 million.
And they gave it back, right? Or they gave 4.2 back or whatever they did when the fund dried up. They didn't realize the fund was going to dry up so fast. They said, well, we don't really need it. We'll give it back to you. But the CFL is not in that same position to just give back $4 million or $150 million. So it'd be interesting to see where it goes. Again, I would caution people to say that the CFL is not getting bailed out over top of other more needy organizations getting support. It's not a choice here in this situation, I don't think.
We don't know, but for sure right now, it's not even 24 hours old that we've learned about this. Clark, can you put the comment up from Jason Fichter from the Rider Prider fan page? Because I want to read that. And while you do, I put the poll question up last night because I wanted some runway on it by the time we went to air this morning. Should the CFL receive millions in federal COVID-19 relief? 64% of you voting on Twitter, yes. 36% of you saying no. Our friend John Smith writes in and says, "Hi, Roddy, sorry, but the CFL shouldn't get money from Ottawa." Have you found the comment from Jason? It was basically, he was quoting David Naylor of TSN saying it's a loan, not a bailout. That's not entirely true either. If you go to the story that's, you can go to a lot of stories that are out there, but ones at rodpeterson.com right now came from the Canadian Press. Arash penned a very long column on it. I don't know if you saw it at sportsnet.ca. A loan, what Randy Ambrosi is saying is we'll repay it in kind. Basically, community service. We'll do free tourism videos for the Canadian government. It's not, they're not going to write checks back, which is fine. But this is, like, it doesn't look good, doesn't look good at all on the CFL. But this is not a time for optics. This is a crisis for the Canadian Football League. I'll go back to what I'm saying. I don't qualify for federal funding. You'd think I'd be all upset. How come they can get money, but I can't? But I'm not. Nelson Hakowicz writes in and says the Grey Cup brings $80 million in revenue to the market, right? It's not just about sports or lining owners' pockets. As I owned a restaurant here in Regina, a rider home game day, $10,000 to $15,000 bump in sales.
Yeah.
So it does benefit everybody to have the CFL playing. And I just, when people are going off and getting really upset about this, I wonder if they're aware of all of these things.
I don't think they are.
I don't think they are either.
I think you only see what's right in front of you and what's in your world. And if you don't go to CFL games or watch them, you don't understand that they should, that, you know, why are they getting money? And that's completely understandable. It's like, hey, I don't have any idea what they do, but it's sports and it doesn't impact my life and it doesn't seem to impact anybody's lives around me. Well, it does. It impacts people more than we think. And
yeah,
we have to be able to see that the CFL has a big imprint and a big impact in the country. It just does.
There's one popular question that I saw out of all this was, will this money be going to the players? And from what I know, it won't be going to the players. They're not currently playing. The players don't get paid if they're not playing. This is going to operate the teams right now. One article that I read about the CFL was a quote that there's virtually no income right now for CFL teams. That's part of the problem that I have with them hibernating for 6 months. But this is the boat that they're in. It's just to keep them alive now. $3 million per team. And then if there's a lost season, up to $150 million they're asking, and it could be the end of the Canadian Football League. So it's not really time for fighting. This is serious strokes here right now, which, by the way, it's been serious since this all started. As Arash found out and reported at sportsnet.ca, the initial application from the CFL went in on April 2nd. What's today, the 29th? 3 weeks ago this went in, and the story just came out.
Yeah.
And as far as fast forwarding to point five, did the CFL overshadow itself with the draft? I don't think they really care. I mean, on one hand, the commissioners and the owners are very concerned with how the league looks. But in this case, I don't think it matters how it looks. They are struggling to stay alive.
And you have to operate in the way that you're planning on living longer, right? You don't operate like you're going to die tomorrow or that the league's going to fold. You have to operate like the league's going to continue on and you're going to be able to survive. So you have to have your draft. You have to continue to do things and plan for a season and start to do whatever you can to make sure that you can get back on the field and play. I think the big, you know, the bailout money is interesting because it's not just going to be handed out willy-nilly. I mean, there's a big process that's going to go into this, a lot of due diligence. It's not just so everybody can keep their jobs and, you know, executives can make $250,000 a year or whatever. It's not just for that because we know that if you lose your job, you can, you know, pause mortgages and there's all these other financial tools out there to help people survive. So that's not it. It part of it will come down to if they're going to play games too without fans. You know, we still have to pay all of these other people to be there and operate the football games. You know, we need money to do that. If we're not giving any gate revenue, we're not selling any merchandise, we need some support here to continue to have a season. That could be one of the things on the table, but there's so much more to it, and it's not, yeah.
And the commissioner stating in the articles that I've read that playing games in empty stadiums, highly, highly unlikely, which doesn't surprise me either. By the way, some people have gravitated to our point four of our original six, quick six show topics. What's your Hall of Fame of fast food? Richie Roy from Big Time Game Shows is watching this morning, and he says He says he's got three of my four. You're Mount Rushmore of fast food. He's got McDonald's, as do I. He's got KFC, as do I. He's got Dairy Queen, as do I. Where we differ is he's got Subway. And I thought we got to have pizza in there. As a pizza guy, and I put Pizza Hut. Don't at me. Hall of Fame fast food chains. Here's mine. McDonald's, KFC, Dairy Queen, Pizza Hut. I want you to think of theirs. Ooh. Think of yours. Pizza Hut and nothing but. Richie Roy, the world famous magician, still watching, still writing in, says Weyburn's KFC all-you-can-eat buffet deserves all four spots on Mount Rushmore. Darren disagrees.
That's, we'll leave it at that. Yeah, I disagree.
It disagreed with him. It disagreed with him.
And then I got on an airplane.
Robin Wildy says, but is Pizza Hut fast food? Hey, I'm willing to be convinced otherwise. Pizza Hut pizza is rather difficult to do. Fast food, believe me, I know. So if you can think of a fast food pizza restaurant, Trifon's, they do it in the food courts.
Pizza,
but
by
I'm
the
not
slice.
Putting Trifon's pizza on the Hall of Fame, Mount Rushmore.
No, Vern's pizza.
Vern's. Yeah, but this is worldwide.
Not here, but Vern's in Saskatoon. You go into the little Vern's and you get your pizza by the slice for $3 or whatever it is.
Johnny Schmeiser writes in. He says, Hall of Fame of fast food, In-N-Out Burger, ooh, Taco Time, McDonald's, and Weyburn's KFC Buffet. You really got me going on the Taco Time. Yeah. I love me some Taco Time. Yeah. Oh, yes. Peter Saragella, Peanut Butter Pete, says PDQ. That's a blossoming pizza brand that is takeout pizza. Stay tuned for details. Colin in Ottawa writes in, back to more serious topics. It just slid off the screen. Can you get that one from Colin in Ottawa regarding the stadiums? He wants to talk about serious stuff. Do the Rough Riders, Red Blacks, and Blue Bombers still have to pay their stadium construction bonds even if there are no games? I think the Blue Bombers pay around $5 million a year just to pay off the bonds for IG Field. That would be in the contracts that they have. I know that there are provisions in some of the Rough Riders contracts with sponsorships, and obviously, as we've learned with players, if there's no season, this happens. But I don't know if that pertains to stadium funds, loans that they have to pay back. I don't know. That's why I've really tried my best to stay out of all of this. As I said yesterday, I don't want to talk about stuff that I don't know about. I try to stick to things that I know about. This is not something that I know about. What I know is I support Ottawa money going to the CFL to keep it afloat because of what it means to Canada, which we've really got hung up on this and didn't get to the Argos linebackers tweet as to why the Canadians hate the CFL, because I do want to talk about that. But The Hall of Fame football, the Hall of Fame fast food thing going wild. Omar Evans writing in today. Rough Rider alums writes, what's going on, Rod? Hope all is with you and yours, bro. It is, Omar, as you can see. Miss you, dog. And hope you're doing well, too. As the Rider alum continues and CFL alum to chime in from wherever they may be. Eric Ellis writes in, is this what we've come to, discussing fast food on the RP show? God, we need sports back. Well, fast food and sports kind of go hand in hand. It's kind of given you the opportunity to talk about things you wouldn't normally talk about. So, Eric, we'll do the talking, you do the watching. Couple things that I do want to mention. We got high numbers here, by the way, in the rollout for Flooring Superstore, if you've noticed. That's good, because we're going to have to break and come back with a sports update, and then Robert Vanstone. One, Trent Bruner's watching in Norway today. Trent says, Norway calling. If governments won't let the fans go in to watch, then the governments have responsibilities to bail all of them out. The CFL especially must be protected at all costs. Now, obviously, Trent's been up for a while. It's evening in Norway. He's making a hell of a lot of sense. I mean, on one hand, I think the health officials have way too much power. I'll just say that, okay? Don't at me. But if you're going to close down the leagues, then you better support the leagues. At the very least, the CFL. But it does bring up the suggestion of where do you draw the line? Mm-hmm. So then is the WHL, the SJHL, university sports, are they all subject to bailouts? So it's a very slippery slope here. And the scary thing is, Trudeau might just say no to y'all. I could see that.
Yeah.
Because he's never really been pro sports since he's been in office. Now, I know you got something to say, but we got a break. Just one. Hey, well, the guys wanted me to mention it here. Breaking news. This is big news for me. Cat Country 98.1 FM, beginning May 5th, will start the feature of the Rod Peterson commentary. Every day, 7:20 a.m., 4:20 p.m., Cat Country 98.1. So we are joining forces. It's the start of a beautiful relationship, Darren, between Cat Country 98 and the Rod Peterson show, as you well know all the details. So that's exciting.
Very exciting. Yep. Yeah, that's going to be really cool.
All you listeners in the region, be tuned in beginning May 5th to Cat Country 98 for my daily commentary, 7:20 a.m., 4:20 p.m. It's a rural community. It's a farming, agriculture, ranching community. I love it.
That's what
right down my alley.
I was going to say, that's right down the pipe in your DNA.
Yeah.
So.
And from Doyle Benson says, good morning from Wendell Clark's. So good morning to Wendell Clark's in Saskatoon. So we got a lot of things to get to, and I do want to talk next, or soon anyways, about this tweet from Argos linebacker Nakus Onyeka. Why do Canadians hate the CFL? We really got to get into this. Rob Vanstone coming up, Gary Drummond, Bryn Roy, Jay Onright. It's the Rod Peterson Show, and this has been the rollout for Flooring Superstore, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hi neighbor, Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup and delivery at no extra charge, and we increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. I just got your text, Pete. I'm glad you're not that upset. Hang on. Just ahead of Rob Vanstone, sports update on this Wednesday morning. Seattle Thunderbirds general manager Bill LaForge announced center Sam Aremba has signed a WHL standard player contract with the team. The Regina product was selected by the T-Birds in the first round, 7th overall in the 2020 draft last year with the Regina Monarchs. Bantams, he had 75 goals only. And 58 assists in 31 games. Tuesday was the sixth day since the 2020 WHL Bantam draft took place, and the Red Deer Rebels have signed sixth overall pick Kalen Lind. The younger brother of former Kelowna Rocket and Vancouver Canucks prospect Cole Lynn spent the majority of the year with the Swift Current Broncos. Bantam AA's 68 goals, 52 assists in just 27 games. It's a great draft for Sask hockey.
No kidding.
TCU coach Gary Patterson, president of the American Football Coaches Association, says his level of optimism is very high that there will be a 2020 college football season. He's just not sure when it will start or how it will work. And the 2021 PGA Championship at Kauai Islands Ocean Course is delaying the start of ticket sales until August. Tickets were originally set to go on sale to those who registered online in May. However, PGA Championship Tournament Director Scott Reed said that with the world grappling with a pandemic, it's not appropriate to ask potential spectators to make purchasing decisions at this time. Wednesday morning sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store. Their kitchen's open and awaiting your order. Call 761-2777 for their hours or visit their Facebook page for their menu. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. Everybody chiming in on the CFL bailout from Ottawa, which I'm going to call it a bailout. Sorry, JJ, it's what it is. It's what it is. You can disagree, that's fine, but it's what it is. By the way, Matthew Schinetti tweeting from TSN, Prime Minister Trudeau, quote, on the CFL subsidy, the CFL has approached us about support. We know it's important to them, and we know it's important to Canadians, and those discussions are ongoing. Okay. Let's do it. Let's bring in Rob Vanstone. Let's inject some intelligence into the conversation here. hey, good morning, RV. How are you?
Good, thanks, Rod. How you doing?
Good. I'm fascinated to learn your take on whether you think the CFL should be eligible for COVID relief from Ottawa.
I'm in favor of it, obviously, given what I do for a living and the fact I've been following this team and this league for 50 years, there's a deep-seated interest in the CFL. So I'd like to see it happen. Will they get $150 million? I don't think it's a matter of Randy Ambrosi approaching the league and saying, we need this, and Randy Ambrosi approaching the federal government and saying, we need this, and they're going to say, okay. I mean, obviously, there would need to be some bartering and some dickering. But when I look at it, I don't see many things that allow us to say, celebrate Canadiana as the Canadian Football League as much as the Grey Cup. And one of the issues I think that is going to arise that it's, although it's a league that goes from coast to coast and ideally into the Maritimes as well, is this a regional issue? The fan base is a lot more ardent in Saskatchewan and Winnipeg. I think in Western Canada at large, with the possible exception of BC, than it is in the more populated areas where the population density is greater. Ontario, there's three teams, has had its issues. So is the interest passionate enough across the board for the CFL to be able to sell this, for the government to be able to sell it? But I just keep looking at what happens every November when there's a Grey Cup and how Canadian football in Canada is celebrated. And I think that's an entity that needs to be preserved. You really wonder where this might go if this is a protracted break or protracted hiatus, if there's no season. There's already some trouble spots in the CFL. If those go away, who you might be talking about are scaled down, reduced league, and is that what anybody wants to see?
You know, it would be hard for the CFL to come back for sure if there was no season. There's no doubt. And by the way, mark it down, fellas. Rob Vanstone, a yes for CFL getting relief from Ottawa. I am as well, Rob. Shocking. I'm actually surprised that any CFL fans would be against it, but I'm not arguing with them. I mean, obviously, they have their own issues and their own reasons. I just want to welcome some of our viewers. Brandon Atkinson writes in, says, good afternoon from Toronto. Go Argos. And I'll tell you what, we're getting more and more viewers from that GTA. We know there's CFL fans down there, Rob, but not everybody is as proud of it as Brandon Atkinson, which leads me to my second point. Argos linebacker Nakus Onyeka putting on Twitter this morning, why do Canadians hate the CFL? I'm just asking the question. You know where he's coming from. You don't. I don't. Darren doesn't. But nobody watching the show hates the CFL. But why do we always have to be battling for legitimacy? I mean, I've given up. I mean, we love it. We're going to talk about it. But why are they hating this country?
I've never detected hate, but I generally travel in circles and talk to people who are passionate about the CFL. I think it's just tilted that way. But I've spent a lot of time in Toronto in my life. My wife's family is from there, and the indifference. I'm not sure it's a hatred, but I think that might be a strong word, but I think there's an indifference to it. Again, that makes it a tougher sell when you're talking about a federal government. If it was the Rough Riders going to the provincial government, and I think it'd be a much easier case. This is obviously under a different party, but this is a provincial government that's bailed riders before and forgave a $2.8 million loan guarantee once upon a time. So, and helped to build the stadium, as did the civic levels of government. So if this was Rough Riders dealing with the forms of government that are in greatest proximity to them, I think it'd be a lot easier sell. But when you're looking at a greater breadth, that's the problem. I think the problem out east is I'll never forget 1989 Grey Cup. The game, we were looking for somewhere to eat, and we ended up hailing a cab, and the cab driver had no idea the Grey Cup was in Toronto. And the big football game he was interested in that day was the Buffalo Bills game. And that's an opponent the CFL has had to fight. And that's, you know, the major market in Canada. So that's, I think, where the issue lies. There's going to be a lot of sympathy for this, I think, in Western Canada, especially the prairies. But can you sell it out east? And I go back to, remember a few years ago when the government had the short bailout and how quickly that was rescinded. I think you're dealing with different issues here. You don't have the, okay, why is the government giving money to billionaire owners and millionaire players? There are some players in the Canadian Football League who are very well off. There's a lot of players in the Canadian Football League who make less money than the average fan, and they're smaller enterprises, and very few of them are virtual mints where they can just print money, unlike the NFL and unlike some so-called major professional sports. It's just the dynamics region to make this a tougher deal. And as you mentioned earlier, what can of worms do you open then? What about the Canadian Hockey League, which is by and large Canadian-based teams? You're talking roughly 60 junior hockey teams. Then there's the SJHL, then there's the MJHL, then there's the AJHL, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What about the Western Canadian Baseball League? It goes, once you, this is the first biggie that they have to deal with as far as a national sports enterprise, but once you do that, the lineup is going to be endless as far as sports federations looking to get money and some to sustain themselves with the assistance of the federal government as well. And that's a can of worms they've got to be wary of.
The comments are just going wild. Joe in Long Island, New York, Joe Lazito writes in and says, hate might be better because at least it shows emotion. I'd rather be hated than nobody know who I am. You know what I mean? As a league, you know what I mean? It's better than apathy. And by the way, the term hate was the word used by the Argos linebacker Nakis Onyeka. It was his term. Okay. I don't know what's bad. I've given up running around defending this league. There's a lot of NHL guys that don't even think about it. They snicker at the money, and it's like, well, I tell you what, bud, you get cut and go to the American Hockey League, you'll be making the same amount as these CFL players, so just be careful what you're saying. But overall, I just don't spend a lot of time on it. The real sad thing is, though, Rob, because you know that I read the LP every day, specifically your columns, you've kind of had to go from West Division favorites or Grey Cup favorites to will there be a season or talking about the past, and that sucks.
Especially with the Grey Cup in Regina this year, and everything was lining up so well for the Rough Riders. Coming off a first-place season, I think Jeremy O'Day had a really good run as far as retaining the key free agents. You've got this franchise quarterback, this charismatic presence, who I think has only scratched the surface of what he can do, not only as a player, but as a presence. And the way the Grey Cup is still scheduled for November 22nd in Regina. So it was really shaping up well for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And it's still May if they could start a season in September. But I'm becoming very skeptical. Once you look at what's happening in Alberta, for example, where they've declared any large gatherings off limits right through the summer, how do you even hold a training camp in preparation for a season? How do you practice given some of the numerical restrictions that are in place and are very unlikely to be relaxed to the extent that people are going to be able to gather in the numbers that are necessary for the CFL to make some money. And even if the all clear is given, do people have the wherewithal to spend the kind of money for tickets that they did before the pandemic hit? And are people going to be pretty cautious about sitting next to or close to an absolute stranger for three and a half hours? There's just so many dynamics to consider. It's really a reach to think that there's a season. And if I am wrong, please remind me that I am, and I'll celebrate with you.
Gord Archibald writes in and says, in the GTA, it's not even indifference. It's more like no awareness whatsoever of the CFL. Indifference implies some level of awareness. I say BS, because TSN airs 12 hours of CFL football for 6 months weekly. Canada's sports leader. So don't tell me people in Toronto aren't aware of the CFL. That's bunk. Not on you, Gord, but I'm just calling out the people of Toronto to say that you don't even know that it's going on. What, you don't have cable television? That just ticks me off. Travis Rosebrook, one of our viewers, says, I think the biggest question that needs to be asked is, will the CFL fold without the $150 million? An even bigger question in Rider Nation is, what happens with New Mosaic if the CFL goes under? So it's a good point. Those other amateur leagues, the AHL, the MJ Dub, they will survive. The CFL might not. And that's the sell job that the commissioner has to do on Trudeau, which, by the way, is a CFL fan. He's gone to Red Blacks games. He's gone to Alouettes games. He practiced with the Rough Riders badly, but he did practice with the Rough Riders, mind you, on Parliament Hill. RV, anything else before we let you go? I should say this. You've taken this opportunity, man, to do what everybody should do. You've been exercising for how many straight days? You've lost weight. Look, I'm jealous. The sun's shining through your window. The birds are singing. I mean, you've taken this the way that people should be taking it.
Well, I think this will be day 54. And, so I'm getting close to the Joe DiMaggio number, which I never thought I would get to. I thought I'd be more like hitting an Argenis Salazar consecutive games hitting streak, and then go for a pizza. But yeah, I had a pretty life changing day on February 26th. Well, first, this is a long story, but I'll try and make it abbreviated. December 11th, my mom died, and I went on a 2-month eating binge, just ridiculous and irresponsible and unceasing. And on February 26th, I sat down with my doctor, and he said, you've got type 2 diabetes. And so we reach a juncture where I really got to do something about this. My dad died at 61 years of age. I'm 56. I've got to do something about this. And I've never had a better motivator. Fear's a good one. And so that's pretty much what kicked in. And I haven't drank anything except water since February 26th. And my dear wife, Chrisoul, has done amazing things with the diet to help out. And that's what happened. There's been some awful things that have happened, mom dying, diabetes, the pandemic, etc. But I'm glad I can have something to focus on that's a lot more productive and better for me. But I really didn't have a choice. If I'd been left to my own devices and if that diagnosis hadn't come, you'd probably need a wider screen to accommodate me right now. So I don't want people to go down the road I went down, where you just have no choice. You gotta prick your finger every 2 days. That's no fun. It's absolutely awful. And so I do that for the rest of my life, and I want the rest of my life to extend at least to the next football season. So there's no choice. That's a long explanation, but that's pretty much
the... Right. It was just right, as a matter of fact, RV. And you're being a leader in this time. I'm proud of you. I will let you roll.
Thanks, Rob.
Get to your next award-winning column, which I can't wait to read. And stay safe, my friend.
You too, Rod. Take care. Thanks so much for having me, and all the best to everyone.
Thank you. A real treasure, Rob Vanstone, joining us from his palatial South Regina estate. By the way, Paul Totsky writes in. He says, Argo fan here too. I think there is some optimism with the team now. I think most people find it easy to associate with NFL teams because of the image. See how I said two topics will take us through the whole show, which is totally cool. But you know Jim Lang, very good friend of mine, Canada's foremost expert on the NFL. We've gone around and around and around on this. And this is a guy that was the voice of the Argos for a time, too. That's where we met. He goes, but Rod, Toronto's an NFL town. People cheer for the Cowboys and the Vikings and the Bills and the Jets. And I said, really? Then Regina's an NHL town, because they cheer for the Bruins and the Leafs and the Flames. Come off it!
I know.
You're not! Unless you have a team in your market, you are not. But they just masquerade as something that they want to be. Now, having said all that, we've got all these Argo fans writing in, and they're growing by the day. They want the coverage. They love the coverage. They love their team. The gentleman just said, Paul said that there's optimism with the Argos. I was going down their roster today looking at, trying to find who this linebacker was, Nakas Onyeka, because I apologize, I'm not familiar with him. I'm going, oh, they signed him. Oh, they signed him. Whoa, they signed him. They are good. So it would be a shame if they're not playing, but they got to show up to the stadium. Because as I said all along, my good friend David Benefield, Mr. Furious, says the CFL's not sexy, and it's not sexy. We got to find a way to make it sexy. If it's a weight loss program, get your eyebrows and eyelashes done. I don't know, but the CFL's got to do something, because you know what they are? I've said it for years. They're the 2 a.m. booty call of people of the GTA. No, they don't want anybody to know. We're not dating, but you can come over at 2 in the morning. Yeah. When I need what I need.
That's exactly what they are. And it's funny because it's a matter of information too, and publicity and marketing. As you said, the more we talk about the CFL, the more we talk about the Argos, the more the Argo fans are getting attached to this program, and they're coming here as a safe haven, you know, to talk about football, and it's awesome.
And we could have Murph on the air every day.
I know.
He could.
Well, we absolutely could. But,
and he'd be great.
But think about, you know, the NFL. It's easy to cheer for the NFL because I know so much about Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson and, you know, Drew Brees and Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, and I can see into their lives, and it's easy to be fans. Tell me something about Reggie Bagleton or, you know, Brandon Banks.
Or Matt Nichols.
Yeah.
You know, he's their quarterback.
But the fans, don't have a lot of information about their players. There's not a lot there to get attached to. You just need to put them out there more. And the more information that's out there, the more, you know, marketing that's done, the more that we're talking about it, the more people can feel a connection and feel really good about it. It's like that booty call. You're not taking somebody home because you don't know what skeletons are underneath there. You don't know much about it, but you know everything about the person that you're with, and you're really proud of that, right?
Yeah, more so. I just think the Torontonians don't want to be seen walking down the street with the CFL. They don't want to be, oh, don't take them on a date. But they'll call him at 2 in the morning. Do we have Jay Onright ready?
Not yet.
Okay. We'll take a break. Rog ran for Bronco Plumbing and Heating, your factory authorized Bryant Furnace dealer, which, by the way, they're completely unscripted, off the cuff. That's the way they wanted it. That's the way I want it. You never know when these rants are going to bubble to the surface. And there's mine for the day. I've had enough with the hate. And this guy's right. He's right. Say what it is. We'll be back in a moment. On the way, Jay Onright, Bryn Roy, Gary Drummond of the Atlantic Schooners. It's the Rod Peterson Show on this Wednesday morning, coming to you from the bunker in Western Canada. Facebook Live, Game Plus Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand-dry and inspect every vehicle for a top-quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, folks. We are on the air. Not really, actually. We've dropped. That's the thing. That's the new term for broadcasting. The show's dropped on the internet. Because you can't say it's airing on Netflix because it's not.
No.
It's streaming on Netflix.
Streaming.
It dropped. So, see what you learned today?
I did.
We're awaiting Jay Onright. The boys tell me that they're just working on the connection. He, of course, is broadcasting from home. And I got to find out if maybe he didn't find Chad Kackert not knowing who he and Dan are as funny as we found it, because there's been literally no reaction to that clip from Chad Kackert. But there's been no Jay and Dan on the air either since Friday. So
that could be part
of it. Jer writes in from the 515. He says, does Montreal ownership pull the plug and stop their financial bleed at some point in time? They haven't played one CFL game, and it's costing them as we speak. Got a feel for that group from a business standpoint. I agree. So those are some of our quick six show topics today. CFL seeking $150 million, up to that in federal aid. And Argos linebacker Nakis Onyeka tweeting, why do Canadians hate the CFL? It's really got people going. Let's bring in Jay on right now this morning. I laugh because I'm thinking of your elephant piano that I saw you playing last week.
I've got it here somewhere, Rod. I don't know where it is. It's Jay, somewhere here. I've got other stuff. I've got a dollhouse.
I'm concerned that somebody's running a burner account on Facebook of Jay Onright, because I sent you the video this morning of Chad Kackert talking about you and Dan, and you haven't opened it yet. Are you not much of a Facebook guy?
No.
Clearly. Yeah, only when it comes to baby pics.
I almost never check it, Rod. I'm so sorry. You should just... Twitter, my tweeter or something.
Were you aware of Chad Kackert's comments of you and Dan last week?
No, I wasn't aware of the comments until your producer, Clark, explained them to me. I think that's hilarious. I'm not surprised at all. I mean, it's a pretty stupid thing, us just having so much fun. It's the same as Brock Besser. Like, Brock, when we say Brock Besser, like, he probably can't stand it, but we just love it.
Well, I know. So the thing was, I sent you the clip. It's on your Facebook. I said, Chad Kackert, do you have a relationship with Jay and Dan? He's like, who? Like, literally. And we hit the floor, but then we never heard back from you guys. I'm like, oh, maybe they don't find it as funny as we do.
Oh, we find it hilarious. Yeah, we don't care. I mean, we care about as much of Chad Kackert's reaction to us as Chad Kackert cares about us.
Exactly. Okay, so anyways, you've been a nice part of my morning routine here, but not this week. What's happening with Jay and Dan? What's happening with TSN programming? Are you off the air? Are you on vacation? What's the deal?
No, we did a show yesterday, so this is all news to me. We should have been on this morning. I don't know what's going on, to be honest. We did a show last night. I'm trying to think. Is there a big sporting event, a curling bond spiel of some sort? Nope, nothing. So I can't think of a reason why we wouldn't have been on. Usually we're on TSN 4 until, I think, 6 a.m. Saskatchewan time. But then we're on TSN 5 all the way to like noon or something. So I'm not sure. I'll have to talk to programming about that, Rod.
Yeah, please do. Get on it and get back to me, please. What's it been like broadcasting from home? We've all enjoyed seeing you guys in that element. You've been working great together. How has it been to get back on the air after that little pause there?
It's been awesome, Rod. You know, all jokes aside, I mean, you and I are just so lucky to have jobs like this where we can, you know, quickly bring things together, and people smarter than me certainly can help me from a technical perspective over the phone, set up a tripod, audio, all that stuff, just like your producer Clark did in trying to set up this interview. So for me, it's just I'm at the hands of much smarter people than me, as has been the case most of my career. And luckily, we have some great people at TSN who've really set it up nicely for us. And I will say, Rod, the commute can't be beat. I mean, I just go to my basement. You know, I eat dinner, I bathe the kids, and then I go down to the basement. Like, the commute's better than driving to Scarborough, I'll say that.
Well, we are all getting into new routines, and mine is biking on a stationary bike I bought for an hour, and I watch you guys, and I watch ESPN get up, and I'm a happy guy. By 7:30, I've biked for an hour, and I'm ready to go have a nap. But I want to ask you about coming through Regina for the podcast, because I was there, basement of the Kinexus Arts Center. I don't think we've talked since. It was amazing. Cody Fajardo coming out, singing, bringing you guys pizza. Man, was that fun.
It was so funny, Rod, because one of our producers had just been to Regina for a week or so, and he'd been doing a story about the Rough Riders. And he came back, and he was obsessed with Regina pizza. He was obsessed with it. And he couldn't believe that this was a thing that existed. He didn't know about a true Canadian culinary tradition that I think if you're from Regina or from southern Saskatchewan, you just take for granted. But what you don't realize is that's a truly unique style of pizza that has been created in Regina, and it's so good. And Dan hadn't really tried it before. So to have Cody come bring the pizza out and to have us all try it was so much fun. And as you know, Rod, because I know you deal with him a lot, you know, what a wonderful young man he is, like just a truly great kid, and just could have been happier with him. And I really, really hope that when we get the CFL going again and we get games back at Mosaic, that the fans really embrace, and specifically the PA person, the person in charge of playing the music, embraces every time he throws or runs for a touchdown, Cody Fajardo, that we play the "There Is Something in the Air That Night, The Stars Shine Bright" Fajardo. Then I want the whole stadium to scream Fajardo. Just the concept of that. I remember, Rod, when Lito Shepherd used to play for the Philadelphia Eagles, and they would play Boss Skaggs' Lito Shuffle every time he would make a play. And, you know, so you'd hear, "Oh, Lito," and then the whole crowd would go, "Oh!" It was so great. It was so great. And that's what I always envisioned with this Fajardo thing. It was a huge success that night, as you know, you were there. So we're hoping it continues when the CFL season starts again. When that is, I'm not exactly sure. As you said earlier, we're getting Argos players asking why people hate the CFL so much. Boy, that's a can of worms when you're from Toronto.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, just on the Fajardo thing, I got guys across the league saying, because he is nice and as good a guy as it appears. I said he's even more nice. And I was worried that you guys might corrupt him that night, but he was only up there for like 5 minutes, so you couldn't rub off on him. That was a blessing.
Well, also, Rod, also his dad was there, so we were on our best behavior.
Right.
We were on our best behavior. His dad brought him by. So, yeah, we just loved him, and I love that the provinces embraced him so much. And, you know, this is a team that needs a star quarterback, I think. You know, it can't be quarterback by committee. It can't be, you know, all due respect to Zach Collaros, hey, just won a Grey Cup, but, you know, it's an injury thing, and it's in and it's out. And for Cody, I just think – he's young and he's got his whole career ahead of him, and it's so exciting for Rider fans, I think, to have a guy like this to cheer for. And I know he just signed an extension too, so future is very bright for him and the Riders, that's for sure.
So it would be a shame if there was no, I mean, the CFL will come back, but we don't know when. But you got Cody there, you got Nick Arbuckle in Ottawa, you got Trevor Harris in Edmonton. Good young guys, young guns, Masoli down the road, Dane Evans. The CFL's ready for an explosion. And my next point for you is this Argos linebacker, Nakus Onyeka, saying this morning, "Why do Canadians hate the CFL?" He puts it on Twitter. I mean, you're in the epicenter of Toronto. What's your deal? Do you love it because you're a Western guy, or what's... You know, the CFL?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean,
that?
I'm like you, Rod. Like, we grew up with the sport, right? So I was an Edmonton Eskimos season ticket holder, and I just love the sport, and I still love the sport. I think it's better than ever. It's amazing when you go back to Regina and tell people from Regina, yeah, it's struggling in Toronto. And, I mean, put it this way, Rod. When we came back from L.A., the Argos had a Jay and Dan day, like a Argos game. It was Jay and Dan day, and it happened to be a Riders game. The Riders were in town, and they didn't even sell that out. Like, even the Rider, you know, the people from Saskatchewan who moved to Toronto, you know, usually they would fill the place. But I'm not sure what it is, Rod. It's so confusing to me, because they finally have a beautiful stadium. They're playing where TFC plays at BMO Field. It is perfect for CFL football. It is easy to get to. It's not far from downtown. It's just part of the problem with Toronto is there's too much going on in the summer. And then half the city takes off to their cabins too. So it's just a tough, tough sell here. And I don't know what's going to turn it around. I really don't. I used to think all it needs is that one person. Not so much players on the field, but that, you know, incredible business / sports mind that could turn it around for us. And I just don't know if that's ever going to happen. So I tend to not worry about it too much. I'm more excited, more encouraged about the fact that we might finally get a team in Atlantic Canada. I think that's so important for the league, that team does come to fruition at some point very soon. because not only will you get the 10 teams, but I think that fan base will embrace that team the same way that Saskatchewan has embraced the Riders. So I think that to me is more important than the Argos situation right now.
So do I. And we got one of those owners of the Schooners coming up later, Gary Drummond, on the program in hour two. I'm going to read you a question, if you don't mind, from a viewer. He says, Jay, can you please tell us about your experience in the U.S. versus your show in Canada? Can you talk about the difference between the Jay and Dan's south of the 49 and north of the 49?
Well, my current situation where Jay and Dan is me and my iPhone and a tripod, it's a lot different. Because when we first went to LA, I think there were 50 people in the studio. And, you know, we had old guys from the old days of the Fox lot, like guys who'd worked on Love Boat and things like that, who were union guys who just got assigned to our show. And their only jobs were to move chairs from one side of the studio to the other. Like it was a heavily unionized Hollywood studio lot. So we just had so many people working on the show. I used to laugh. Like, we always told a joke. One of our best friends there who's one of those guys, they call him a grip. And we'd see him at the beginning of the night. And his name was Jim Pearl, but a 65-year-old, handsome Hollywood type. And we'd say, hi, Jim. And then 3 hours later, the show would be over, and I would not have seen Jim the whole time. And then I'd say, Jim, where were you? He's like, I was in the parking garage smoking a joint the whole time. I was like, that's great. You know, if that's working for you, that's great. So that's a big that's not happening at TSN, Rod.
Okay.
I realize everything's legal now, but everything's so bare bones now. You know, with Canadian television, it's you know, we've had so many layoffs. All jokes aside, it's been terrible. This coronavirus self-isolation thing has been so bad for our business. From a perspective of freelancers, a lot of the guys who work with us, as you know, are freelancers, and we've got a few of them from Saskatchewan, good friends of ours, who work on all the live events, all the CFL games, the Brier, what have you, Scotties. Those guys are all freelancers, and as soon as this self-isolation hit, and as soon as the cutbacks happened, those guys were out of work, and they're still out of work. So we're lucky, Dan and myself, to still have a show on the air. And so, you know, it's almost like we're back in broadcasting school. We're setting up our own camera, our own lighting, our own everything. My wife's doing my makeup. It's all hands on deck, Rod, but it's working out. So we're happy to do it because we know we're fortunate to be able to do it.
Yeah, but our industry's just been gutted. Before the pandemic, now it's like a scorched earth. I'm talking sports and entertainment. It's horrible, but I understand we're not the only ones. But you nailed it when you said we are very lucky, and we know that we're very lucky. Nelson, just one more point. Nelson Hakowicz writes in, he says, I watched Fox Sports 1. It feels like they had the clamps on their creativity. Be that as it may, I just wanted to read it to you. The one thing from your podcast, and I'm going to tell all our viewers, if Jay and Dan come to your community, go. Buy a ticket and go. But the one thing that I missed was that producer guy that kind of looked like Mutt Lang that you brought on from L.A. live on FaceTime. What was his deal? I just kind of missed the introduction. He was hilarious, but...
Oh,
yeah, why are you so...
That's Engineer Jim, Rod. He's a unique character. When we got to L.A., we needed someone to work the boards for us for our podcast. And the guy who hired us said, I think you should use this guy. So he was a sound editor. If you watch NFL on Fox and you hear all that amazing audio and all the great clips they play, he's the guy who marries the sound to those clips. But in his past life, 20 plus years ago, he was a record producer in Hollywood, and he is, if you own Use Your Illusion 1 or 2 by Guns N' Roses, and you own it on LP, and open up the LP jacket, he is in that album. Pictures of him are on that album. So he worked with Guns N' Roses for years and has worked with tons of people. So he would come on the podcast with us and just tell stories. We called it 6 Degrees of Engineer Jim, where we try to trace his career back to another artist that we liked. And so we've remained friends with him ever since, and he's just the loveliest guy, and he would chug margaritas on demand at the live podcast. So how can you go wrong with a guy who will chug margaritas on demand?
You can't. Well, Jay, I could go on all day, but we'll let you go. I'll just say, so proud to support everything you guys do. You're such great guys. Keep it up. Appreciate it, and I hope you get on my TV soon.
Rod, I can't tell you how much I love coming on with you. I love what you're doing, and I always appreciate your support. And I apologize. I hope my audio is okay. I had a better setup going, but anyway. Oh, here, I'll leave you with this. Like, this is a painting of Keith Richards my mom did. There it is.
Thank you. What? Good night. Look at that. Keith Richards.
That's awesome.
He has survived this, from what I understand. If there's one guy that should be vulnerable to the pandemic, it would be Keith Richards.
You would think.
Man, yeah. That's funny. We'll be back with hour two. We got Gary Drummond, one of the owners of the Atlantic Schooners, CFL veteran and rodeo cowboy, Bryn Roy, too. Thanks to our hour one guests, Jay Onwright and Rob Vanstone. We'll be right back. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards. They're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
Hi, neighbor. Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup, and delivery at no extra charge. And we increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.